Spirit of God is speaking to us right now. And you know, even in the main sanctuary, I've heard there's been a flow of teaching from the Holy Spirit. There's been things that God's saying. God is speaking to us during this season. Tonight's message is one of those messages that I believe is something that God is speaking to us right now, especially as Christians in the nation, the way things are going on right now. We're not going to politics. We're going to the Word of God. But God is speaking to us. And so tonight, I want you just to open your heart up. Really get ready to receive what God has for you, because I believe that if we can get a hold of what God is saying right now, we can set ourselves up for the future. Especially in this young adult time, you know, 18 to 28, I just turned 29 last weekend on Sunday, and so I'm actually too old for this service now, so I guess I'm just a guest speaker for the rest of my time here. Just kidding. But you know, I look at this time, and oftentimes when I tell people about what I do, when I tell people about pastoring the young adults, I liken it to the junior high school of the adult life. And the reason why is because you remember when you got in junior high, everything changed. Right? Like, now all of a sudden you had six classes, six teachers instead of one. You know, it was awkward. You were finding out who you are or who you wanted to be. People started identifying themselves as, I'm this, I'm that. You know, I'm not this, I'm not that. Started dressing a certain way. All of a sudden your looks became very important, and your looks were changing rapidly. In your young adult life, it's sort of the same thing. You've had this structured system. You've had everything handed to you. You've been delivered everywhere. You've been taken everywhere. You've had a lot of decisions made for you. You've been told who you are, what to do. And now all of a sudden you're in this period of time where it's sort of like this new junior high level where you're in adulthood. You're finding out who you really are. You thought that you were this person, but now all of a sudden that structure has fallen away and there's no longer that system there. And some people try and hold on to it. Some people change. Some people develop and some people grow. Why am I saying all this to you? Because tonight's message, I believe, is one of those messages that's almost like a compass. That if you can take a look at what's being said tonight, it's going to give you the direction north. It's going to show you where God is. It's going to point you up, point you to Jesus, and it's going to get you in line with what God has for you. And so as you take the principles that you learned tonight and apply them to your life, you're going to find out that, wow, this is something that's keeping me on a focus, on a path. God's leading me somewhere. He's our guide. And so tonight, let's pray and let's go to the Word of the Lord. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And tonight, Lord, we just open our hearts up, God. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit, God, especially during this season, God. Things are blowing through, God. And so, Father God, we want to be prepared. So, Lord, open up your Word to us tonight. Please speak to our hearts. God, as we open up your Word, Lord, we pray that you would open it up to us, God. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that understand, Lord. May we not just understand it with our head, but may we receive it with our heart, God. We don't want just information, God. We want an impartation from the Holy Spirit that we can take with us into every area of our life. So, Lord, come and speak. Come and be the teacher. Be the pastor. Be our guide. We pray it in Jesus' name. Everyone in agreement said? Amen. Amen. Tonight, the title of my message is Word Up. Everybody say word up. Say it with a little bit of gangsta. Word up, right? How many remember saying that? I remember, like, I went to the movie theater one time and there was this guy who's walking through, his pants were down on his knees, you know, and his shirt was long enough to cover up everything, and he's like, word to herd, my brother. And I kind of thought, what was that? I looked at my brother and I said, word to herd? He said, shh, you know, like, shut up. Don't make fun of him. He might beat us up. So, but tonight, talking about word up. You know, there's been a lot of confusion recently. A lot of worry, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of unbelief. And I'm sick of it. Anybody else sick of it? I mean, are you sick of listening to the news? Are you sick of listening to people? I mean, if you listen to people before, you know, this past week, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. Who's it going to be? What's it going to be? How's it going to work out? All this kind of stuff. Then all of a sudden, we get on the other side of an election, and they say, oh no. Oh, what is going on? How's this person going to be? What are they going to do? And it's like, wait a second, that's the same worry renewed. You just regurgitated it up, swallowed it back down, and now you're bringing it back up again, man. What's up? And I'm a little frustrated. I'm not frustrated with the person. I'm frustrated with doubt. I'm frustrated with fears. I'm frustrated with confusion because I know where that stuff stems from, and it's not the Word of God. It's from another source. And just like I was talking to you as we were kind of introducing the night, how there's winds of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaks things. Did you know that there's also winds of doctrines? What is doctrine? Teachings. Things that people speak about. Ideas. Philosophies that blow through. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. We're not fighting any new enemy. It's the same old devil. It's the same old lie. It's the same old deception. And so we got to get wise enough to word up. See, whenever we find ourselves in these situations, it's time to word up. See, I got a little play on words in case you don't know what I'm talking about. The Bible's called the Word. And so when you get into fear, fear is the opposite of faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. It's time to word up. When you get into doubt and unbelief, time to word up. Confusion, that's of the devil. God is a God of order. God is a God of clarity and peace and purpose and design and function, effectiveness. So when confusion starts coming your way, it's time to word up. See, I've heard a lot of plans of men, a lot of ideas, a lot of philosophies, but I haven't heard a whole lot of word. And it's time for us to word up. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. It's right there in the back of your Bible. You can actually start at Revelation and go back through 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, and then hit 2 Peter. I'm sorry, I missed Jude in there. But 2 Peter, at the end of chapter 1, and like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. Peter in his day, 2,000 years ago, was dealing with the same issue that we're dealing with. There was stuff blowing through the church. People were coming around teaching craziness. Denying that Jesus Christ was the Lord. Denying that he came in the flesh. Saying all kinds of things. And so Peter's writing this letter to the church, to the people that are scattered abroad. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 16. And it says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables." You heard of Aesop's fables? What is he saying? He says, we didn't follow cleverly invented stories. This isn't just stuff that we smoked the wrong stuff and we came up with ourselves. Can I put it in terms you understand? He says, we didn't sit around and say, wouldn't it be crazy if we just started telling people that this dude died and then like a couple days later he came back and was like, just kidding. He says that we weren't just making up stories, you guys. We did not just come up with this stuff and pull it out. Oh, he fed 5,000 people. That wasn't what happened. He says, we didn't follow cleverly invented story tales. This is not your little kid's bedtime stories. This is reality. This is truth. And he says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at what he says, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter says, we were right there. We saw this stuff day in, day out, 3 years on the earth. We were there. We ate that bread that he fed to the 5,000 people. We ate those fish. Peter could have told them, I walked on water. He's the only man other than Jesus that could ever say that in history. He could have told them. But he kept the focus on Jesus. Look at what he says, verse 17. For he, speaking of Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What is he talking about? See, Peter had an experience where Jesus took him and two other guys, James and John, and Jesus took them up onto a mountain. As they walked up onto that mountain, all of a sudden, Jesus changes. He's glorious. All of a sudden, he's talking to Moses and Elijah. Peter comes up and he's like, whoa, Jesus, this is good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles. You're going to stay in one. Moses is going to stay in one. Elijah's going to stay in one. And while Peter's still talking all this foolishness, because I think he was just kind of like, whoa, he was kind of in awe and was just wanting to stay there on the mountaintop experience. And so he just started blabbing out at the mouth. As he's doing that, all of a sudden a voice comes booming out of heaven. This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now, just like you and I, if we would have heard that, Peter, James, and John all fell on their faces before this booming voice that's coming out of heaven. And Jesus comes up and touches them. They look up. Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus is back to the way he was. Jesus tells them, I don't want you telling anybody about this until the appointed time. He says, don't go spreading this around. Well, Jesus has now gone to heaven, and now it's the appointed time. And now Peter's saying, look, I've been telling you about this experience. I told you when I went up on that mountain. I told you about how Jesus changed. I told you about how I heard the voice. And that wasn't a cleverly invented story. I didn't just make that up, but no, I was an eyewitness of his majesty. Verse number 18, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse number 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Now hold on, wait a second. Wait, just one second. We have the prophetic word confirmed. What does that mean? That means everything that you read in the scriptures in the Old Testament, you find the prophetic word. Everything that they spoke about God is coming in the flesh, the Messiah, the anointed one, the appointed one. Jesus is coming. Everything that you read about him, everything that you know about him is now confirmed. He says, so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Confirmed with what? Confirmed with an experience. Confirmed with a reality. Confirmed by hearing a voice and seeing his glory. Now all of a sudden he changes a page. Look at verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. To do what? Heed. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. Be careful to do it. To heed is a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Verse 20, knowing this first, we ought to know this. We ought to know this before anything else, he says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Remember, he started this saying, we didn't make these stories up. And now he's saying we have the Scriptures confirmed. And then he says, you ought to know that no prophecy of Scripture, the Scriptures that were confirmed in the experience that he had, in the story that he told, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So he's saying the prophets didn't make it up. The prophets didn't hear from God and say, that's good, God. But you know what? I think we can write it this way. They didn't add to it. They didn't take away from it. They didn't change it. They spoke it. They wrote it down. And that was it. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You find this oftentimes in the prophets' lives. What prophet would want to go before a king and tell him he's wrong? It's going to land you in jail. It's going to get your head cut off. John the Baptist had his head cut off. How about Jeremiah? Guys thrown in a cistern. You think he enjoyed that? But it wasn't what he wanted to say. Jeremiah said, I'm trying not to speak this. I'm trying to hold it inside, but if I do, all of a sudden it's like fire in my bones. I'm trying to hold it in, but indeed I cannot. And so he says, prophecy never came about by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people. So you've got the real guys, the real deal, holy men of God speaking as God moves them on. And now all of a sudden you've got false prophets too. These are the people that are making this stuff up. These are the people that say, hey, you know what? The king's coming and he wants to hear a prophetic word. Just tell him whatever he wants to hear. You can find that in the Bible. You can find places where the guys were like, wait. Elijah, come on, man. Every time you go in front of the king, you tell him something bad. Tell him something good, please. Please just tell him what he wants to hear. Why you got to play, man? And yet Elijah still goes before the king. And one story is kind of funny because he tells him what he wants to hear, and the king says, oh, what? What are you doing to me now? Right? Now all of a sudden he opens it up, and it's like, you're going to die. But there were false prophets among the people. Chapter 2, verse 1. Even as there will be false teachers, where? Among you. So you got to be careful what you listen to. There's going to be people that are saying, hey, you know what? I heard this. I heard this thing, man. I was checking this thing out, surfing the internet, and you know what I found out? The Watch the News. Man, can you believe that this person did this stuff? Yeah. And you know what? All those people are like that. All of a sudden, they're spreading this stuff. Hey, you know what? I got a hold of this stuff in class, man. I was over there at college, and this teacher was telling me all about this. It's true. It was in my book. I read it. And they'll start spreading this stuff. And look at what it says. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. If you look at that in the old King James Version, it's a little bit harsher. It says damnable heresies. Now, if you don't know what that means that something that's damnable means that it's going to get you sent to hell. Very serious term. But it's destructive. It's something that's going to take you to the point of destruction, which is damnation, which is taking you to hell. Heresies. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. See, these people teach these heresies, and you say, Pastor Dan, what is heresy? Heresy is an opinion of man that's professed that's outside of the truth of God. Simple as that. Just like doctrine, true doctrine, is the teaching of the Word of God, a heresy is an opinion of man that's outside the Word of God. Like, Jesus never came in the flesh. Oh, he came, but he was a ghost, just walking around. That's why he could walk through walls. No, that's wrong. That's not what the Word of God says. Jesus had flesh and blood. The disciples handled him. They touched him. They put their fingers in the holes in his hand. Jesus ate food in front of them. He could walk through walls because he's Lord over everything. And that's just how he rolls. He wasn't a ghost. I think God likes to show off a little bit every now and then. Watch this. Walk through a wall. Right? You got four loaves? Boom, let's feed 5,000 people. Five loaves, two fish. Here it is. 12 basketfuls left over. See, God, he likes to show himself off. He likes to show you who he is. Let you know that there's something super in the room around your natural. But these people are introducing these destructive heresies, telling people all sorts of craziness. Verse 2 is a sad verse, and many will follow their destructive ways. There's a lot of people that are going to go after these destructive heresies. Why? Because they don't word up. They don't follow the truth. They don't know their Bible enough to know who Jesus is, to know what he said, and to know what he requires of them as Christians. That's why when a pastor falls into sin or teaches some crazy destructive heresy, a lot of times people will stay in that church. Why? Because they're not looking in their Bible. Listen, if I ever start teaching something that's outside of the Word of God, you better confront me on it. And if I continue, you better leave. I'm telling you that right now. Why? Because you don't follow a man. You follow the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad some of you guys are getting this tonight. Many will follow their destructive ways, chapter 2, verse 2, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. That means it'll be evil spoken of. Because we as Christians aren't united in following the Word of God, there's going to be people that see differing ways, differing doctrines. You know, I remember one time when I was in high school, there was a guy who was Catholic, and then there was a guy who was a Jehovah's Witness. And we all sat kind of in the same area in our class, and so we're all doing our homework and doing our thing, and we had a lot of free time in this class, so we talked a lot, you know, we'd get done with our work, and we'd just sit and talk and do different things. Well, the Jehovah's Witness guy, he was a little bit militant, man. He was going after people, trying to tell them about this and that, and this is how it needs to be and whatever. And, you know, me being, you know, I was a fairly new Christian in those days, and even though I was raised in the church, I was born again, and so I was a little bit zealous. You know, and so I'm confronting him on this stuff. You say, what? What? Show me in the Bible. You know, we'd be breaking out the Bible. I'm like, that's not the Bible. Get that out of here, you know, because they got their own little translation. I'm like, show it in my Bible. You know, and we're going to town on this stuff. And he's telling me, yeah, you know, Michael the Archangel, that's Jesus. I said, you are foolish. Where do you see that in the Word? Oh, well, in Revelation, blah, blah, blah. What? No, I see Jesus and I see Michael in Revelation. Two different people. I don't know where you're getting that. Oh, no. And he says, well, the Catholics believe that's true. I said, no, they don't. They believe the Bible. And so he says, hey, yo. He goes over to the Catholic guy, and the Catholic guy's sitting there doing his work, and just like, yeah, what's up, you know? He says, Jesus, Michael the Archangel? He goes, yeah, I believe that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on, man. You're supposed to be my brother in the Lord. You're supposed to back me up here. Don't agree with him. I confronted him later on, and he says, wait, what did he say? He asked me, what? Oh, no. I'm like, go tell him. Come on, man. Don't just agree to something because you're doing your work. This is important. But that guy had a heyday, man. That guy was always talking smack about us, always saying different stuff. Why? Because we couldn't get our stuff together. Verse number 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. That means they're going after selfish gain. That means their motivation for teaching these destructive doctrines is so that they can prey on you for their own selfish gain. They want approval of men. They want money. They want fame. They want power. They want all that stuff for themselves. So if they will gather up themselves a little following of people, get them to buy into their fame, buy into, oh, you know what, this guy's got it. A lot of times you find people that are really knowledgeable and they want people to think that they're knowledgeable. People that want to feel important. So they, you know what, oh, yeah, wait a second, you know, Pastor Dan's been teaching this stuff, but I see. With my reasoning and my superior intellect, this. And they want to gather a little following of people so that they can build themselves up. It says they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. See, the scriptures are God-breathed. And in order for us not to follow after destructive ways. See, we could get really down right at this point in the message. We could say, oh no, there's people in this room that are doomed to follow their destructive ways. They're going to be damned. But let's not go there. Why? Because we can word up. We can get into the Word of God. We can find out what God has to say. We can understand the truth. We can get that sound doctrine and that sound teaching. You don't have to be played. You don't have to be. You can find out what the Word of God has to say. The Word is the standard by which our ideas must be measured. You've got to line it up to the Word every time. Hold it up to the light of God's Word and say, is this something that I believe? Or is this something false? And as you hold it up to the light of God's Word, you'll find out what its true colors are. You'll find out what it really is. So tonight, what it takes to word up. Number one is a desire for God's Word. This is what it takes to word up. Anytime you find out, man, doubt, fear, pressure, stress, a lie, something false is coming at me, well, this is what it's going to take to word up. Number one is the desire for God's Word. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Kind of in the middle of your Bible, the Psalms, biggest book of the Bible. We're going to go to the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, let me say this, is all about word up. I mean, line after line after line after line, he's like, man, your precepts, man, your word, man, your truth. God, I'm going after it. God, I'm going to get it. God, restore me according to it. God, save me according to it. God, strengthen me according to it. And he goes on and on and on for 176 verses in this chapter. All about the word, all about word up. But in Psalm 119, I'm going to look at verse 130 and 131. Psalm 119, verse 130 and 131 says this. Says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So when you word up, all of a sudden, there's where you're holding it up to the light. There's where you can see its true colors. You can find out what it really is. And it says it gives understanding to the simple. Now, I'm not calling you simple-minded, but you know what? A lot of times when we look at things, the Bible says that we need to be harmless according to what is evil, but wise according to what is good. You know, I'm simple when it comes to what's evil. I don't go studying what's evil. I don't go looking for what's evil so that I can know the truth. No, I study the truth so that when what's evil comes along, hey, you know what? I can identify it. I can hold it up to the light. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted. And let me add my own little side note, like a dog. For I longed for your commandments. Look it up. Look it up. That's what the Bible says. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. I mean, he is just desperate for the word of God. He is desiring. His one desire is, God, your word, bringing the light into my life, giving understanding to this simple man. And I open my mouth, Lord, I'm looking at you, and I'm just... Because he desired the commandments of God. He wants it so bad. Number one thing is that desire for God's word. Can we say in our lives that our desire is that intense? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. That's the word. We need to word up. We need to desire the things of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That needs to be our desire. That needs to be our aim, our focus. What's going to take the word up? Number one is a desire for God's word. Number two is a delight in God's word. A delight in God's word. Turn to Jeremiah. If you go through the Psalms, through Isaiah, into Jeremiah chapter 6. There's an interesting verse that I came across. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Now, this is something that's in the negative sense, okay? So when I talk about delighting in God's word, we're going to look at this in the negative sense first, okay? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10 says this. It says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. He says they don't have the blocks off their ears yet. They can't even listen. Why? Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Wow. See, that's the negative sense of this thing. When we shut our ears to the word of the Lord, when we say, oh yeah, you know what, I heard that doctrine, I heard that. And we shut our ears to what the word of the Lord says, we don't word up, and we don't delight ourselves in God's word, there's no desire there. Now all of a sudden we've shut our ears, there's no delight. And it says they cannot heed what God is saying. They can't listen because they have no delight in it. Listen, if you delight in the book, you're going to want to read it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You get a good book, man, you can't put it down. I remember when I read this book called Rescued. Oh my goodness. It was like, whoa. I remember I'd be up in the middle of the night and, you know, I'd read through it. And it was one of those books where at the end of every chapter, they left you at like a hanging, you know, you're hanging there. You're like, no, darn it. Why did I read that chapter? All right, just one more. You know, and you read one more. And then at the end of it, you're like, it's like 1 a.m. and I need to go to sleep. Just one more, you know, and you just keep going through it. If that's your desire, you're going to, if you like a song, you're going to want to sing it. You're going to want to listen to it. Remember when you were a kid and you first learned, this is the song that never ends? And you delighted yourself in that song so much that you annoyed every person that you came into contact with? Or John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. When you delight yourself in something, you want it. If you delight yourself in a person, you're going to want to be around them. Hello? I want to be around my wife. I delight myself in her. She is fun. And she's funny. And I just enjoy being with her. I want to be around her. My kids, I want to be around my kids. Man, they're so much fun. My daughter went to stay with her aunt tonight. Man, I miss her. I'm like, man, where's my little girl? You know, because I'm just laughing all the time, having fun. Listen, if you delight in God's word, you'll meditate on it and you'll prosper. You'll be in the word. You will word up. You'll meditate on it. You'll wrap your mind around it. You'll keep bringing it up and you're going to prosper. Take a look back at the Psalms. Psalm 1. Back up to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Remember, we just read the negative sense where they were listening to everything else, but they couldn't even listen to God's word. Now it says, blessed is the person who doesn't listen to the words of the ungodly. Who shuts their ears. You're not listening to the word of the ungodly. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. A lot of people want to prosper. A lot of people want to be blessed, but they don't delight in God's word. A lot of people want to do great things. A lot of people want to be financially successful and stable, but they don't want to meditate on God's word. Repeat it. Bring it up. Delight themselves in it. As you delight yourself in the word of the Lord, as you word up, you're going to prosper in your life. Not just financially, every area of your life. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. In your relationships. In every area of your life. Number one, what it takes to word up is desire for God's word. Number two is to delight in God's word. Number three is delivery of God's word. You got to deliver it. You've got to bring it. This is the application step, okay? Get a hold of this, because you can really desire God's word. You can even delight yourself in it and love God's word. A lot of people, I know, with tears in their eyes, I just love God. I love his word. Oh, man, they quote scripture to you. I had a guy in my office asking me all this stuff. How do I overcome? I'm getting beat up by the devil. Man, I got anxiety. I got all this stuff. I said, okay, well, here's what you're going to do. I start taking him to scriptures, and I start quoting scriptures. He finishes them for me. Now, I thought that just happened to Pastor Jim. But all of a sudden, here it is happening to me, and I'm going, wait a second. And I stopped him. I said, wait, you're quoting the scripture? You know this? How come you're not doing it? Why are we sitting here? Because you got to deliver it. You got to bring it out. What good is a pizza? Baked, boxed, ready to go, hot and ready. What good is that? Just sitting there on the counter if it's not delivered. That does not bring the delicious pizza into my stomach. It needs to be delivered. What good is a newspaper? Printed, wrapped, rubber banded, even put in the rainproof bag with coupons inside. What good is that just sitting down there in a warehouse? It doesn't get me any information. It doesn't allow me to enjoy the Sudoku puzzle on the inside of it. It doesn't give me the movie times or what's going on in the world. What good is that if it's not delivered? It's no good. What good is a Bible that sits there on the shelf, never cracked, never creased, collecting dust? What good is that? What good is that? Open it up. Word up. It's time to word up. Listen, you got fears? You got anxiety? You got all that stuff? It's time to deliver on God's word. You do your part. God does his part. You and him together are a powerful force. You can't be stopped. Nothing's impossible to you if you believe. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But you've got to do your part. You've got to deliver God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very familiar scripture about the word of God. Verse 16 says, all scripture. Everybody say all scripture. All scripture. Come on, everybody say all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it is God-breathed. Remember, we talked about the prophets speaking as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. This is what that's talking about. God breathed this word, and the holy men of God spoke it and penned it for us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means there's gain in it. Something for you to gain when you word up. It's profitable for doctrine. Remember, that's the teaching, instruction. For reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, sometimes when we look at our lives, we look at our situation, we look at what's going on, we look at the world around us, and we say, what can we do? We feel helpless. Oh no, so-and-so got elected to office. Oh no, so-and-so didn't get elected to office. Oh no, you know what? My girlfriend or my boyfriend just broke it off with me. My family's not serving the Lord. My boss is on my back all the time. I can't believe these professors at school. And we feel hopeless. We just sit there and we hold our world in our hands and we're looking at the problems, but we got to look past the problems to the promise of God. And as you look at the promise of God, you'll see the one who promised, because that's the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's time for us to word up. It's time for us to have that desire, that delight, and then deliver on God's Word in our life. Bring it forth. Speak it out of your mouth. Use it. Break it out. When you go to prayer, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed, bring your Bible with you. Bring your Bible to church. You know, in church, we read the Bible. You know that, right? In case you didn't, I've been reading out of the Bible all night. Go get you a Bible. Did you know you can buy a Bible for like a buck? Literally, you can go down to the bookstore, Christian bookstore, and ask them, do you have like a dollar Bible? And they'll take you to this little flimsy little Bible, and they'll say, here you go, a couple bucks. You know, you want to get one like this? You'll invest some money in it. But it's worth the investment. It's worth your life. There is profit in it. You spend money, but you gain your life. Go to the Love Rock bookstore this weekend and pick up a Bible if you don't have one. Go purchase it. You spend more money on movies and dinner and everything else. You spend more money on an Xbox video game than you do on the Word of God. There's something wrong. Spend $600 on a PlayStation 3 and you won't go buy an $80 Bible. There is something wrong. I'm getting in your face, but listen, do you want to live a good life? You're getting your direction. Remember, I told you tonight, you're getting some direction from God. This is something that you have to order your entire life on. Because he who meditates in a day and night, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, who bears forth fruit in season. That means that it doesn't always bear fruit, but you know what? It's coming. You may be going through a hard time, but it's coming. Whose leaf does not wither. That means you're going to live life beautifully. A tree with no leaves is pretty ugly. It's a bunch of sticks. But a tree with leaves that aren't withered is beautiful. Beautiful. You're going to flourish in life. And everything he puts his hand to, he shall prosper. That means when you raise your family, when you get married, when you have kids, when you buy a house, when you go into business endeavors, when you want to tell somebody about Jesus, when you want to do something with your life that lasts beyond the 100 years you may have on this earth, maybe 80, maybe less, who knows? But you want to make an impact on eternity, you're going to have to do it through God's Word. You're not going to do it through empty philosophies and damnable heresies. Yeah, we remember some crazy wackos from the past, but you know what? In heaven, it's not going to matter. Their names aren't written. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. But you know what? To the ones who stayed in his word, went after a cause, who got it down on the inside of them, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. If you got something out of the word of the Lord tonight, come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah.